A promising trend has emerged over the last decade in big urban areas, mostly in the Midwest and South. The number of poor people isolated in high-poverty neighborhoods declined. Demographic researchers who studied the 2000 census call the results stunning. NPR's Cheryl Corley reports from Chicago.
On the near west side of Chicago, a new community is being built as the high-rise buildings of the Henry Horner homes come down. Delphine Allen Jasper, watching the construction, says the change here is big. She moved into her first apartment at the Horner Homes more than 20 years ago.
I lived in 1847, which still stands. It's a 15-story right off of Lake Street behind us. And there was a 15-story here, which is two 15-stories. It was highly concentrated with poor people. It was gang-infested, drug-infested. It was a neighborhood in which I felt like I was captured in bondage.
This area, formerly home to Chicago's Skid Row, was a classic example of what researchers call concentrated poverty, neighborhoods where more than a third of the people living there are poor. The development manager of the Horner Project, Alam Khoury, says with the new construction, public housing residents will live alongside those who can pay moderate or market rate prices or rents.
So we're really trying to make this community as diverse as possible for the public housing residents so that they no longer feel like they're living in an island all their own.
Some new housing is already complete. Jasper moved with her two children into one of the Housing Authority's new scattered site townhomes not far from the construction site.
And I was like, me? This is my new house? Central air, central heating, no roaches, no rats. I was like, Lord, thank you. I remember the first night we moved into our new house. No noise. The kids slept like angels. I was up because I was used to all the noise. I couldn't sleep. I paced back and forth watching the two doors. I was used to one door. So I was back and forth like, oh my God, it's two doors to watch. You know, not realizing that I'm in a different environment.
Jasper worked her way off welfare years ago. She's a regional property manager who's hoping to purchase her own home. She's one of the lucky ones. National data shows that relatively few public housing residents will live in new developments. Even so, researcher Susan Popkin, who tracks the movement of the urban poor, says when public housing residents do move, whether by choice or force, they typically end up in better circumstances.
They came from extreme poverty neighborhoods. Most of these developments they were living in had poverty rates of 40% or higher. In Chicago, it's over 60%. And so when they move, they end up in moderate poverty neighborhoods, 20 to 30%. And so that doesn't sound wonderful, and they're not great neighborhoods, but they are a big improvement over where they were.
Popkin works for the Urban Institute, the Washington, D.C. Public Policy Group, and the Brookings Institution, another think tank, studied the 2000 census to determine how the concentration of poverty changed over the last decade. Brookings researcher Paul Jargowski says it's important because the effects of poverty are magnified for poor people who live in isolated neighborhoods.
Kids who are growing up in a neighborhood where everyone is poor are subjected to a lot of temptations, the temptations of the street. The other thing is that they don't have as much access to role models, and they don't have as much access to information about jobs because so few people in their own community actually are employed.
Concentrated poverty grew steadily in the 1970s and 80s, and it continued for some areas in the 1990s. In California, Latino immigrants flooded into poor barrios. In Washington, D.C., the poor became even more isolated as middle-income blacks left struggling communities. Across the country, older inner-ring suburbs saw increases in poverty, too. Elsewhere, the story was much different. Poverty concentration rates dropped, especially for African Americans, in Detroit, Minneapolis-St. Paul, Houston, Tampa Bay, and Chicago.
Hello? Okay, give me just a few minutes.
Arlene Hall is 29. She's black and lives with her two young children in Chicago's Logan Square neighborhood on the city's northwest side. The cranberry-colored walls in her spacious living room glow with the afternoon sun.
My landlord, he's real nice. He was like, anything so great, the apartment is fine with me. And some landlords, they won't let you do that because I got this done, this paint and everything. And I love it. Thank you. I'm just making it comfortable and, you know, for me and my babies.
Hall is among more than 2.5 million poor people who left poor communities during the 1990s. for most of her adult life. Hall lived in Chicago's Cabrini Green public housing development, notorious for its crushing poverty and violent crime. With the help of a Section 8 subsidized housing voucher, Hall was able to move to Logan Square, a neighborhood full of Polish and Mexican restaurants and shops, and a school which Hall says has helped her son.
They was preparing him for first grade. He was bringing home math, reading. He was studying for like spelling tests and stuff like that, little spelling tests. I mean, it's a big difference.
No one can say for certain why the decline in concentrated poverty occurred, but researchers credit a mix of factors: changes in public housing, welfare reform, tax credits for the poor, and the booming economy of the 1990s. Chicago's North Kenwood neighborhood offers yet another example. Just north of the city's affluent Hyde Park and the University of Chicago, a surge of gentrification has transformed what was once miles of blight into a community on the rebound. Middle and upper income residents are moving back. 8 years ago, Melody Spann Cooper was one of the first new residents on a block that was home to abandoned and burnt-out brownstone buildings and vacant lots.
My boyfriend and I, we weren't married at the time we bought this house. He wasn't too sold on this area. He looked for more traditional kind of middle class communities. Just so happened we were riding our bikes one day down towards Hyde Park and had stumbled up on this area. And I saw the construction of these first 10 homes. And I said, oh my God, this is going to be awesome.
Now, Spann Cooper Street, a few blocks from the lakefront and a few miles from downtown, is almost suburban in nature, quiet, clean, secluded. The brownstones are impressive. Some have large driveways leading to backyard garages. Low-income residents still live here. There are subsidized units scattered throughout. But despite the dramatic change in concentrated poverty during the last decade, the Urban Institute's Tom Kingsley says he's cautious in his optimism.
The best news is not that the problem's been solved, but the fact that it is not necessarily inexorable, that there are opportunities for things to change, that combinations of policies and economic good times can make a difference.
Of course, the economy has suffered a downturn since the census was conducted. But even if some of the gains of the 1990s have been lost, researchers say what happened during the last decade is ammunition for mayors and community planners as they think of ways to encourage reinvestment in central cities. Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Chicago.